Before we start the show, take a little roll call so I know who I'm talking to. Bobby.
Here.
Susan.
Here.
Cynthia.
Here.
I mean here.
Hey, wait a minute.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Couldn't get any weirder.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Like you didn't know that.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program, everybody. My name is Ron Van Dam. That's what I am doing here. All right, here's the rules. I talk and you shut up.
Please be quiet. 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 Please be quiet.
Please.
Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
That's the only time you'll hear children making sense. Usually it'll be a tantrum of some sort, lying down on the floor and beating their ankles and their fists onto the hardwood. It's usually what happens. That's accompanied by screaming, threats, and profanities. That's what children usually sound like when they're pissed. Although I've met some adults that do it the exact same way. It's pretty pathetic. To be honest with you, today I woke up and I said to myself, you know, some days I wake up and the sun is shining and I say to myself, ooh, what a wonderful day it is to be alive. Other days I'll wake up and the sun can still be shining and I'll say to myself, what an incredible ball of crap this is. It just depends on your attitude. But it really more depends on the people around you. And I have come to the conclusion that the problem to life is the fact that we have to live on the planet with other people. That's the whole thing. Animals, not so much. Animals are fine. Animals do their thing. Birds fly around. They eat a little bit of food. Woodpeckers will peck on a tree trunk, you know, and then go somewhere else. They crap on things. They crap on your lawn furniture. We know what they're going to do. They're very predictable. Dogs will bark. Some of them have great personalities and horrible personalities, just like people, but they're dogs. I can put them somewhere and walk away from them, or I can have them lick my face in a showing of incredible compassion, especially when we get down to the leg-humping portion of our program. I get it. I get it. I know which animals to stay away from, which ones I like, and I can pet them on the back of their head. People, not so much. People are fickle. They're weird. Now, I'm pretty fickle and I'm pretty weird, but I'm so consistent. I'm so consistent. You can read me like in a second. I'm consistent. It's the people around us that drive us nuts. If there weren't people around us, we might be just fine. I've often spoke on this program about renting a cabin somewhere in the woods or on a mountain or something like that, where there's no people around, no one to get in an argument with, no one to dash your hopes and your dreams, no one to impose their feelings and their sadness or their happiness upon you. You're just left alone with yourself. And the great thing about yourself is you're supposed to know yourself. You've been around for a while. It's not like the first time you've met yourself. Bob, here's Bob. Why, that's me. I know you. I like the way you look. I know the way you think. I agree with you on everything. We're going to get along. Yeah, because it's you talking into a mirror. That's a relationship that will work. But when you are saddled with other human beings, it's annoying. Let's say another human being is incredibly happy, really happy. Everything is wonderful for them. They're feeling great. They're joking. They're smiling. They're just, nothing will get them down. Sometimes that makes me feel like crap. Because in comparison, I'm not where you are. I'm all the way down here. Now I wish I was as happy as you were. Now you're screwing me up. No, the best company is yourself. So what you need to do is form this outer shell like an M&M, where you're so damn happy with yourself and you know yourself so well that you're just comfortable with everything. It doesn't really matter. That's great. That's good stuff. I may not be the most wonderful person in the world. Things might make me feel sad, but at least I know how to do it. It's when you're infiltrated by other people that it starts to get a little bit weird. You take on their burdens. You take on their sadness, their emotions, their concerns, their problems. And yet, don't you always feel like saying to people, hey, back off. I got my own things to deal with here. Back off, babe. Part of this is Trump's fault. Trump has somehow well, the Antichrist can do amazing things. Somehow this man, for two-thirds of the country, has caused anxiety, a lack of confidence, has taken away hopes and dreams, all in the name of his ego. This despicable human being has thrust himself upon not only all of us, but throughout the world. That's Antichrist material right there. And I know a lot of people who are walking around not as happy as they could be, where they're concerned about the future, they're concerned about the country, they're concerned about their future, and they feel like they're living inside of a little kid's playpen who can do nothing but kick and scream and hold that tantrum that I was talking about earlier in the show and then vomit on the bottom of the crib mattress. That's where we're living right now. And I don't think people realize it, and I think even people that are pro-Trumpians somehow in their gut know that this is going south. This is going badly. And they feel a little bit deceived and certainly a bit paranoid and very uncomfortable and very insecure. And you can feel it in everybody. Just saying. I'm just saying. I'm making an observance that I think you've made before as well. I think this is affecting people. I think it's actually causing a lot of people to be in fear of things. The floor is coming out from under them. The rug is being torn away from beneath their feet. They're not used to that. I think people are starting to go on anti-anxiety medication. Because we medicate everything. You kind of have to. That or everybody's going to be fat eating ice cream out of the carton. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, just had to get that off my little chesty hairs. I think we all feel like we want to just sit in a cabin by ourselves and say to everybody else, can you just go do something else for a while and leave me the hell alone? How about that idea?
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
I think most of us these days feel like we spend most of our time, if not all of our time, protecting ourselves. I have to spend all my money and all my toil protecting myself with insurance, health insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, dental insurance, cybersecurity, house alarms. People trying to hack into my stuff. What I may say on Facebook that may piss somebody else off or cause some type of a string and an involvement that I wish not to be in. You have to protect your job. Make sure you can keep your job. Make sure you can keep up with the economy. Pay your bills. Hopefully nobody in your family or in your circle of friends are being hurt by anything. Or have any kind of medical problems. Everything's a concern these days. And you can't even join me in my cabin in the mountains when I go, maybe someday, because that would defeat the purpose of the whole thing. Later on in the show, we're going to talk about protection. Sounds like, when I was young, the only protection I was concerned with was wearing a condom. That was about it. Seriously, that was about it. Cybersecurity is, we're going to speak to an expert later on in the show who really knows what they're talking about. And just look at all the possible horrible things that can happen to us now that we've created the internet. We've created something supposedly wonderful. Now we have to spend all our money and all of our minds trying to protect it because it can also destroy us. We can be destroyed by cyber attacks. It can bring down our power system. It can bring down our banking system, our monetary system, our way of life, our communications, everything. Now that's a feasible plan of attack by another country upon us. It's just, where are the keys to that cabin in the mountains, I'm asking. But we're human beings. We feel for other people. When someone else is in trouble, we try to help them. Well, at least the Democrats do. It's a rough existence, babe. That's why we do this show, so that we can gather together in this little mental clubhouse that we've put together and just kind of, no, I wouldn't say cry on each other's shoulder, but feel like someone is commiserating with us. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, life is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But I have learned in this crazy society that I need to be careful about whom I choose to relate to. You don't have to get along with everybody. This isn't a gigantic church congregation. You can pick and choose. You can't pick and choose your family. That's pretty much a done deal. But you're supposed to have some in-baked kind of love connection to them where it doesn't matter as much. But you can pick and choose who you relate to in your life and who matters to you and who doesn't. And that's where your sanity really should be founded. I will relate to only people that I wish to relate to, and the rest, I will see them, I will work with them, but I will not allow myself to relate to them in a personal sense. They have no right to know, and I will not tell them. They are not to infiltrate my personal life. That's really all you got left. Yesterday, I went to a place that was like a cabin in the woods for me. I'm a fairly intelligent person, and I like civilized people. I don't care for people that drool in the mouth on purpose, or who spout profanities in order to uplift themselves into a world of profanity. I choose to be with civilized people that respect each other. So I went to a museum. I went to the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston yesterday. And yes, I am a cultured person, damn it. And some of the exhibits I enjoyed, some of them I didn't. But what I did enjoy, I enjoyed the people. And I got a funny story about that.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
Sometimes I like to surround myself, when I need to be with people, I like to surround myself with people that are somewhat on my level. That could be a low level, it could be a high level, it could be a medium level, I don't care what level it is, I just want them on my level. I feel more comfortable like that. It's like a breath of fresh air. And you know where I find these people? At museums. I like people that go to museums. They dress well. They smell good. They have an appreciation for culture, for art. They're fairly creative people, and they're fairly intelligent. And that's kind of where I mix in. And I went to this museum, and I found myself looking at the people more than I was looking at the art. And that was okay, because the people were cool. You would go into these little museum exhibit rooms, and there's these gigantic floor-to-ceiling glass doors. And you go into these very well-constructed, very nice rooms with museum people standing there and looking at things, and some of them making believe that they like things, like me. I make believe I like paintings, even though some of them I don't care for. But I'm amongst my people. I'm with respectable people who change their underpants on a daily basis. What? Is that something you're supposed to do? Yes, it is. Most of them smell like they had just showered. Their hair was prepared before they went out. They weren't wearing pajama pants. This was no Walmart. These were people who dressed in clothing. Not pajamas. Actual clothes. Shoes. And they looked cultured. They looked intelligent. And when they were in these museum rooms, they were quiet. There was no yelling. Nobody in the corner going, "Josephine, look at this painting. It's incredible." No one said anything like that. If there was any communication, it was in a low voice or a whisper. Do you know why? Because there was respect of people in that room. Appreciating the works of artists. But I didn't care about the art. I cared about the people that were in that room. Some of them held hands, the boys and the girls, and the girls and the girls, and the boys and the boys. It didn't matter to me. There were people there of all ages, students, the elderly, the hard of hearing, the good of hearing. But they all had one thing in common. They respected each other. There were no outbursts, nobody running up and down the halls. Just doesn't happen. And it wasn't a confining respect like in a courtroom or in a military situation. It was nothing like that. It was just an understood respect that people had for each other. And when you open these gigantic floor-to-ceiling glass doors to go into an exhibit room, people would hold the door open for you because they knew you that you were coming and they respected that. And I said, thank you. And they said, you're welcome. I was amongst my people. All different colors, all different skin colors, all different nationalities. But people that appreciated art. It's nice. In the middle of the Museum of Modern Art, there's a large three-story glass-walled room. It's a beautiful room. And there's a little bar restaurant in the center. Very elegant, very nice. The sunshine, the only form of light in that room. That's all you needed. And I sat there with my woman. And we had a glass of wine together. A Pinot Noir from Argentina. And it was delectable and wonderful. It was $13 a glass, a little expensive, but nonetheless, that's the price that you pay to be among people like that. There is a cost to it. But I sat back with my glass of wine and I said, you know, this is it. This is my cabin in the woods. This is it. I don't have to sit there alone in a rocking chair staring at a tree, which is fine. That's good too. But all it really took was to be amongst people that I was comfortable with. Didn't know them, didn't know their names. But I kind of felt like it was good. No one here is going to demean me, even compliment me. They just were. They went about their lives, I went about mine. We all were looking at art, and we all respected each other. And I think that that word respect really was very important to me, and it still is, and I think it's the base and foundation. And I think if I have any insecurities, it's because of that respect thing. When people don't respect each other naturally, I think there's something really wrong. That's why I'm very concerned about what goes on in the White House and the government. That respect, that ain't happening at all there. On purpose. And I think it's often to make us all feel insecure so that they have power over us. So to just finish up that funny little story.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots, thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month. For Pasta Lamusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Lanusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paducah.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajor.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Cline.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Cholula.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus. Just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
Gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. Take off the gloomy mask of tragedy, it's not your style. You look so good that you'll be glad you decided to smile. Pick out a pleasant outlook, stick out that noble chin. Wipe off that full of doubt look, slap on a happy grin. And spread sunshine all over the place. Just put on a happy face. Put on a happy face.
I'm trying, Dick.
Put on a happy
face. That's Dick Van Dyke, by the way. I wasn't calling him a name.
Feeling cross and bickerish, don't sit and whine. Think of banana splits and licorice, and you feel fine. I knew a girl so gloomy, she'd never laugh.
Well, as long as we're talking about gloomy things, we're going to speak to an expert in cybersecurity, Mike Amadi. He's a cybersecurity expert with one of the largest companies, he admits, well, we can talk to him and you can find out. Let's see if we can raise him here. Mike Amadi is cybersecurity expert with Synopsys. He joins us now, and man, this is in the news all the time about cybersecurity, both on a home level for your internet and, of course, nationally for national security, and it's in the news. Ransomware is... That's kind of a new word for us. Ransomware is... Tell them what this is.
Well, ransomware is when bad actors get into your network and drop things on your computer that lock them up, mm-hmm. and then gives you a little message and says, if you want to use your computer ever again, you got to pay us money or we're not going mm-hmm. to let you use your computers ever again. So for the home user, maybe not a big deal. But if you're a hospital network or mm-hmm. something, you know, that's mission critical, it's a really big deal.
So this is basically piracy. We're talking about like pirates.
Well, it's actually more like cyber terrorism to one degree.
Well, that's even worse. Now, and of course, there's much money in a ransom for businesses. What happens when that occurs? Do businesses, have they been paying off or have they been fighting?
Well, yeah, a few of them, I guess, tried to fight, but it's futile. I mean, because, you know, they're just not ready for it. Some organizations don't pay. They've tried that. Actually, there are some that pay, but a great number of them usually pay, and it never really makes it to the media. It's embarrassing.
Right. So now, every company and every faction that relies on cyber in any sense, now they have to spend money and arm themselves against attackers. Was this ever in the foreseeable future that this wonderful world of cyber would become a negative?
Yes, we've been predicting these things for years. As a matter of fact, the past year has been fantastic because I've been able to do quite a few I told you so's to people as well as other researchers.
It's always a good feeling.
Billy Rios, a good colleague of mine, 1 year ago almost, or at the beginning of 2016, said, I think we're going to start seeing ransomware sometime this year. And 3 months later, the first ransomware attack hit. And, yeah. It's just been going up since then.
Wow. I know companies are on their own as far as making sure that they have a good defense against this in the near future. Where does it stand on a government national level, though?
First of all, let's clearly understand that companies may tell you that they're ready for it, but I can assure you they are not.
I'm sure.
Okay? Second of all, on a government level, it's even much worse. Government is much slower at actually updating technologies than anyone else. It typically takes somewhere between 5 and 7 years for a government system to be changed. So government systems are particularly soft targets, in my opinion, right now.
So are private companies actually better equipped to defend against this than governmental agencies?
Absolutely. They are definitely better equipped. They can actually act quicker, and they don't require acts of Congress and such to make things happen. So, yes, they definitely are.
So how do companies indeed defend themselves? Do they need to retain a company in order to make sure that they can stay in business intelligently?
Well, I mean, the first and foremost, typically I would say the short answer would probably be yes, but the first and foremost, the organization has to become aware of exactly where they're vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big problem, is they don't really have any idea of exactly where their vulnerabilities lie. It's like, in order to fix the problem, you have to determine what the disease is first. So it's like going to a doctor and saying, I don't feel well, and he just opens up a cabinet of drugs and says, here, take these, right, without asking you what's wrong. And that's typically what happens a lot. You have a lot of snake oil in the world of security. So first and foremost, the organization has to be aware of where they're vulnerable. And once they've determined that, then we can determine what the fixes are. And the first step, which is finding the vulnerabilities, is one that's sorely lacking in organizations today.
Yeah. And this really affects all of us, even though it may sound on surface that we're talking about companies and it's a company's problem. It's the companies that have our data, our information, our credit card information, etc. So the public is really the end result of being in danger.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the UK, when the WannaCry ransomware attack hit, they had to shut down, I believe it was 39 hospitals completely.
Wow.
They couldn't do anything at all. Now, in critical care environments, shutting down a hospital is a very serious thing, right? So it definitely affects people very, very personally. In fact, I know someone personally that had to have their surgery rescheduled simply because of the fact that they could not go because the hospital was completely shut down.
Wow. Ouch. So we're looking at a future where we have to be very observant and be smarter. Very similar to terrorism where they only have to be right once. We have to be right all the time.
You're absolutely correct. And the situation today is that, truth be told, we're not even right part of the time right now.
Oh, good.
So
oh, good.
That's the big issue.
That's wonderful. All right. Now, so, I mean, I know on a personal level, I get calls once a week from someone on the phone to my house telling me that they are with Windows and that they've detected a problem in my system and they can help me solve it immediately. And, of course, I hang up, but I hang up. How many people don't hang up? I mean, this is also a form of invasion.
No, it's certainly a form of invasion. I mean, that's social engineering, which is a really easy way to mount an attack.
Yeah.
But at the very minimum, you have a choice and are aware of the fact
right.
that you could make a decision and hang up.
Right.
In the case of ransomware, you don't have any choice whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right? You all of a sudden realize you've been attacked and you're in trouble.
Oh, boy. So the next question and the biggest question is, what do we do about this?
Well, I think the first step is, we still live in a situation where the general public is, they're hearing about this on the news, and what you're doing in the media is actually very helpful in letting people know that the problem exists, right?
Yes.
Because the average person today really and truly trusts that organizations like hospitals and critical infrastructure are looking out for their best interest and doing the best they possibly can to make sure this doesn't happen. And unfortunately, that's just not true. So the first step is for the public to just generally understand that. And then the other, coinciding with that, organizations have to very proactively seek out and determine where their vulnerabilities are and proactively figure out ways to manage and mitigate against that. And we're still in a situation today where that's not happening. People are very reactive rather than proactive. And because of that, it's very easy for attackers to reign supreme, if you will.
Now, Synopsys, I know, is involved in helping these companies with their concerns.
Correct. And the organizations that have to deal with this head-on that we work with and that work with other security organizations usually get a pretty good handle on managing security.
Yeah.
They don't solve it. So security is not a solvable problem, but they figure out a way to manage it and be less hurt and less harmed when situations happen.
Yeah.
That's what we help organizations do, better manage the security.
Sounds like it's almost like having an expensive home in a bad neighborhood, yet you have no security system, and somebody eventually is going to break in.
Correct. Yeah, it's very, very similar to that.
Yeah.
The internet is actually a very big, bad neighborhood in a very hostile place.
Yeah, I know, I know. How do we get more information? How does a company get more information, or we as the public?
What do you mean, how do you get more information about security?
Yeah, well, how do we learn more about the subject and what we can do about it, especially if you're a company?
Well, first and foremost, you continue doing what you're doing, interviewing people and talking about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People like the media. They get a lot of news from the media, so that's one way to do it. Another way is for people to just basically do some basic, reading and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the government's going to really have to step in and really make this a priority.
Yep.
They really haven't made it a priority yet.
Okay. Is there a website we can visit?
I guess you could come to synopsys.com and we can help you, there. But I would say start with Google and start searching on security.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically make yourself aware.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's now that we're aware of the problem, now we're searching for answers and how to deal with it. Mike, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Okay, that's fascinating stuff. Scary stuff, but fascinating stuff. You know, when I do interviews, I always go for the juggler at the end and say, okay, you've told us what a problem is. How do we solve it? And I don't feel like that's really been solved. I think there's a satisfaction that we know that things are being taken care of as best we can. But it's like terrorism. Well, it is like terrorism. It is terrorism. We know it's there. We do the best we can to stop it, but it's kind of like something we have to live with now. That's the same with cybersecurity. Your system, your information will always try to be stolen. Your personal information will always try to be stolen. If not stolen, then used to your disadvantage. To sell you, to trick you, to manipulate you. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's just like, cabin in the woods. Ron, you can't run away from problems. Why not? Who are you, Dr. Phil? Of course I can run away from problems. Watch me. What are you talking about? Well, it's not healthy to run away from problems. Don't tell me what healthy is. Stop eating sugar. Then tell me what healthy is. You know what healthy is? Doing stuff that makes you mentally sane and keeps you on an even keel and lets you enjoy this life that we are supposed to be here to enjoy. That's what healthy is. Give me that stuff. You can't run away from your problems. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You take one foot, you put it in front of the other until you're in a running motion, and you leave the problem behind. What the hell's wrong with you? Well, Ron, that problem's going to crop up again. Not if I run fast enough, it won't. Do people watch? I people watch. Sometimes I'll go to a park. It's not my comfort zone because they're all different people in a park. some of them wonderful to me, some of them horrible to me. So I don't really love it that much. But sometimes I'll sit on a park bench. Usually I'll have to wipe away the bird poop, but that's fine. Birds can do what they want. They got to go to the bathroom somewhere. They don't know that that's a bench. Birds don't know that. They're just flying around. They release the poop. What are they supposed to do? There's no bird bathrooms. They do what they have to do when they have to do it, even if they're in a flying motion. Can't blame them for that. So I sit on the bench, and I watch other people on the benches opposite me, and I wonder what their lives are like. Sometimes they may be great lives, sometimes they might be horrible lives. I really don't know, but I can tell if they look comfortable or not. The weirdest thing is when I'll stare at somebody on an opposite bench on the other side of the walkway, and I look up and they're staring at me. And you know why that freaks me out just a bit? Because they're doing what I'm doing. They're looking at other people. Usually when you look at other people, they don't know you're looking at them. They're reading the paper. They're looking the other way. They're snoozing. They're dozing off, whatever the case may be. They're not looking at you. They don't know that you're looking at them, that you're gawking at them. But once in a while, you find somebody who does exactly what you do, and they're gawking back at you. They're wondering who you are and what you do and how you are and what makes you tick. Ooh, that's freaky. Ooh, that's like Twilight Zone stuff. Oh, that's weird. But they do it. Then you know, ooh, I'm uncomfortable, but I'm with my own people. They're doing what I do. They're as close to being me as they will ever become. But that's closer than most. They get me. They do what I do. Probably for the same reasons. Or they may be staring at me because I'm incredibly attractive. Oh, I don't know about that. I'll go with the other idea. Maybe they think so. Maybe they find me to be an interesting looking person. I don't know. I don't know. But still freaking me out. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today as my voice is getting raspy. I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. Please join me then. Look at me getting on my knees, pleading to you to join me again tomorrow. Please fulfill my pathetic actions. Until then, I wish you peace. Hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for shopping. I'm going to validate your parking. Give me your ticket.